You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards here, third and final hour now. Keith Alexander, by the way, will be back with us next week. Don't worry about that. We got a really interesting show coming up for you next week. I'm going to tell you all about it. Last segment of the show when we have Jack Ryan on, because right now we want to keep the good news bus rolling with Sam Bushman, our dear and beloved brother, host of Liberty Roundtable. And, of course, the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network. Be sure to check out Sam's incredible show, named to one of the top talkers in all of America. He has been LibertyRoundtable.com every Monday through Saturday. He's live from 8 to 10 a.m. Central Time. And he's always got something to say, that's for sure. And he's got more good news tonight. Sam was in attendance, actually a speaker at a very notable gathering of people who are attempting to do something that, I think it's very much going to interest you. Sam, take it away.
Thank you for having me on. Good evening, all y'all. Is that how I should say it?
You know it. You know it. You've been here enough to know. You got it nailed.
There is so much to cover, so little time. Let me get right to it. So last weekend, I went to an event that I think all of your listeners should know about. As you know, we've been trying to restore the country for a long time. This year is the 25th year anniversary of Liberty Roundtable Live as well. So we're celebrating all year long. And as the good news part of that celebration, we had an event that I want to tell you about. It was in Lander County, Nevada. These are tiny counties in the rural West. But Lander County, Nevada has probably, I don't know, 15,000 citizens or something. It's pretty small. However, they all of a sudden contacted the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And as you know, I'm the operations manager for that organization. And so they said, we want to become a constitutional county. And we went, what? Yeah, we want to become a constitutional county. Our sheriff's aboard. Our county commissioners are aboard. Our district attorney's aboard. We're going to become a constitutional county. What do we need to do? And we said, we'll obey the Constitution. And they said, well, yeah, of course, but we want to make it official. We want to join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become the first county that would be a constitutional county. We didn't even have a way to join. We're like, you mean, do you want to individually join? Each, you know, county commissioner wants to join, the sheriff wants to join as individuals. No. We want our county to be a member county of the CSPOA, declaring ourselves willing to keep our oaths of office. And so we literally had to scramble and draw up a document officially welcoming our first county. And we put a price tag to that, et cetera, where they could join and get support. So we created a plaque. And we literally, myself and Sheriff Richard Mack and others, went to Lander County, Nevada in person, and they had a big event last Saturday. We were in the rain, but nobody cared. And we had a huge patriotic event tied to, I spoke, and I can tell you what I spoke on here coming up. Richard Mack spoke along with a bunch of other speakers. And we had a huge rally. There was about 1,200 to 1,500 people there. No joke. And they were in the rain. They didn't care. They had food trucks. They had a huge rally with speakers and music. It was tremendous. And we, as the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, if you want to join, we presented them a plaque connoting their entry into the CSPOA as members. And we literally had a bunch of law enforcement personnel there, peace officers and sheriffs. They spoke in defense of liberty. It was incredible. Well, it gets better. Because in addition to that, there's a guy by the name of Robert David Steele, who is doing a national bus tour called Arise America right now. Well, the first stop to kick off that tour starts now and runs through 2024, where these buses will cruise around and go on site, and they will have rallies at locations all across America. The goal is to awaken Americans. Well, these buses were wrapped. You know how they wrap big buses with advertising and promo? One of the buses is for Robert Steele. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just saying, oh, yeah, I know about the car.
So one of the buses was for Robert Steele. The other bus is a Sheriff Richard Mack CSPOA bus, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association bus, wrapped CSPOA. So these buses arrived to partner with and celebrate Lander County, Nevada, being a first constitutional county. And so they kicked off their bus tour at the same time. The buses were there. We got photos of me and Richard Mack in front of the wrapped CSPOA bus crisscrossing the country for the next several years. We had a tremendous time. I spoke and I took on the dishonest narrative of critical race theory. CRT is what they're calling it. They're punching this down the throats of everybody via the government education system in America right now. States are picking sides. Some are red, some are blue, if you believe in that, you know, Republican, Democrat narrative, or conservative, liberal, whatever you want to say. Washington State doubling down and backing critical race theory. The state of Idaho rejecting critical race theory. And a bunch of counties, seven currently, want to leave the state of Oregon and become part of the state of Idaho. They want to move the state line west so they can get the heck out of these liberal states. Americans are waking up like never before. Anyway, this tremendous event, partnering with this bus tour kickoff, was had last Saturday in the rain. And I spoke about critical race theory and explained how bogus and dishonest that narrative is. And how we the people better not drink the Kool-Aid on this one. Or I'm telling you right now, white people and Christians will be literally, it'll be open season on us all if we're not very careful. And I talked about that in detail. We had tremendous speakers. We had this bus tour. Well, it gets better. So while I was there, I met a bunch of county commissioners and sheriffs from other counties. And a county commissioner from a couple of counties over came up to me and he said, Sam, his name is Rex. He said, Sam, I want to become a constitutional county as well. What do we need to do? And I said, well, I'm just the man to talk to. We can help you with this, sir. So then he reviews the documents that we have, the former Constitutional and Peace Officers Association's CSPOA resolution, etc. And so I explained what needs to be done. And he said, you know what? I think that I can get 15 out of the 17 counties in Nevada to become constitutional counties. I don't think I can get Clark County. By the way, that's where Las Vegas is. They're too corrupted and they got too much vote fraud, and we don't think we can get them. We'll try, but we don't have a lot of hope. But I believe we can get 15 out of the 17 counties to become constitutional counties. The rest of the story,
folks, this is... Yeah, the rest of the story is coming right up. But this, folks, I want you to ponder what you just heard from Sam Bushman as we go into this break. Are things beginning to turn in this country? That's been the question we've been exploring all night in different ways. This is another one. Stay tuned. I can't wait to hear the rest of this.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He's set. The pitch. It's swung on. Strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we're back with the one and only Sam Bushman, and he is talking to us, telling us about this recent event that he attended, and it sounds great. I mean, listen, the idea that 15 out of 17 counties of in a state are going to take a stand for rule of law, which is basically what our Constitution is. It's been circumvented and it hasn't been abided by, well, in my lifetime anyway. To see counties beginning to stir, to see our people stirring in different ways. Now, this is a little bit different than the conversations we were having in the first 2 hours, but it's still, to me, positive. But I have to ask you this, Sam, as you continue the story. This sounds very good, but what does it mean? And when I ask what's it mean, to say you're a constitutional county is wonderful. If you truly are to the extent that it hair-lips the liberal orthodoxy or it hair-lips the regime in Washington, bad things could happen. I mean, and being a constitutional county, does that mean that they will retroactively revisit so many of the unconstitutional injustices that have been imposed upon their citizenry by the regime in Washington? Because if that happens, they're going to send in troops. We've seen it here in the South.
So my response to that is, when you say, what does it mean? Time will tell what it really means. And when you asked right before the break, is this where the tide turns? Is this where we're going to start to see a change? We love the stirrings from the American people. I agree with all those questions. Where the rubber meets the road isn't in a resolution that you sign, isn't in a declaration or becoming a membership in an organization. When the rubber meets the road is when the county has to protect their citizens from encroaching government, either from the state and or the feds. And that is really the quintessential discussion about, you know, what does this mean? And the reason that I say that is I can give you opinion. We can't give you facts at this point because we really don't have all the facts yet, James, on this.
Well, that's an honest answer. I mean, and of course, that's true for anybody. I mean, what are you going to do? You have a fantastic mission platform. You have a fantastic vision. But will it withstand the fire that comes from being engaged in activism? Of course, you can trust the people that we present to you on this program and with Sam and with us. We've all paid a price for our beliefs. And it's one thing to have beliefs. the only people you can truly trust are those who have walked through the fire and have maintained those beliefs without apology. And we'll see if that happens here. I certainly hope that it will and can, and I believe that it can.
So time will tell what it means, but here's what I do know. So we're working with Richard Mack from a law enforcement point of view, better yet, from a peaceful sheriff who is elected point of view, to say, hey, what lengths are you willing to go to stop these encroachments and abuses? And so Sheriff Mack, from a peace officer point of view, from a man who's beaten Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court over the Brady Bill, one of the greatest 10th Amendment decisions that our nation has ever known. We've also got Michael Perutka, well-known constitutional attorney and educator, in the mix. I'm about to jump off this call here with you, this phone interview with you, and I'm about to go into a county commission meeting with Michael Perutka and these counties I'm talking about. One of the counties will have a county commission meeting, and they have questions for us. And we're going to be asking those quintessential questions. For example, when the sheriff says, you're not going to force masks in my county, and the governor says, oh, yes, we will. Now the showdown's on, right? What is it going to mean? Does the governor buckle? Does the sheriff buckle? Does the county commissioner betray the sheriff? Does the county commissioner
the rubber's got to meet the road?
The sheriff. All these questions will be answered in time because it's already started, James.
Well, and I'll tell you this, folks, and I'll tell you with complete conviction and certainty, if you have men like Sam Bushman and Richard Mack, if you don't know the history of Richard Mack, and Sam just mentioned it very briefly, I mean, this is a guy that you know is not going to buckle. He's rock solid. He's immovable. Michael Perutka, another guy we go back with many years, former county commissioner, but city councilman in Maryland, ran for the presidency under the Constitution Party ticket in the early 2000s. You got Sam Bushman, Michael Perutka, Richard Mack saying this is something we need to take a look at. This is something that they're signed on to. I have faith in it, and I have faith that the people that they are working with are going to be people that they have faith in, and so by extension, I have faith in them. It's very exciting, Sam. It's very exciting.
I have faith in our intentions, and I have faith in our seriousness. What I don't know is, will the people back their sheriff, their district attorney, their county commission, or will the people fail? Because if the people back us, they won't be able to stop us, because we are right when it comes to the law. We are right when it comes to the appropriate checks and balances. All the sheriff has to say is, governor, you don't make law, my friend. That's pretend legislation when you pretend you have lawmaking authority. So sit down and shut up, governor. Legislature, are you going to come to the table and force this to be law, or are you going to back down now too? Okay, it's these checks and balances that are critical, and will the people back the sheriff? Only time will tell. But I'm telling you, it started now, and I don't want to make it sound like a civil war started. The peaceful restoration of our republic.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Yeah, no. Let's
and
be
will
very
they
clear
remain
about
peaceful,
that.
Right.
Let's be very clear about that. What we're talking about is law and order. We're talking about obeying the law, but enforcing the law for the good of the people. This is not an insurrection. It's not an overthrow. It's people taking their oath of office seriously. Now, that's a novel change to what we've had in this country for far too long. And it is encouraging, and we'll see where it goes. As Sam said, I mean, he can't tell you with complete certainty how other people, he can only speak for himself and maybe his closest associates in this movement, but it is a positive trend. It's another positive trend. And again, it is going to come down to the people. What will the people do? That's right. Will they back their leaders when they become under fire, when they come under fire, or will the people buckle?
And here's my opinion. You will have a continued move toward lawlessness nation as a whole. You will have pockets of, some would call it resistance, I would call it the rule of law, where people will stand up and protect their citizens, and they will force the government to back down. And eventually you will create constitutional states, some more than others, constitutional counties, some more than others, constitutional people that will obey their God and obey their country's laws and be a law and order. You will have pockets of this. And over time, the disparity between the two will become greater and greater. While one group becomes, the masses become more lawless and more confusion and more disruption and violations and abuses, there will be pockets that will become more and more sanctuary, more and more safety, more and more stability, more and more law and order, James.
Well, I got to see, Sam, I want to thank you again for being involved with this. Not just what you do on the radio, what Sam does on the radio with this program, with this network, is just the tip of the iceberg with regards to Sam's activism. And he's a family man. He's a godly man. 8 children, and they are all chips off the old block. It's just an honor to know Sam and to be able to tell you that he's involved with this, and I want to thank him again for all he does for us, but in terms of what he did today, coming on to share with us a little more information about something he always uses, the tagline, network, the news the networks refuse to use. Have you heard about this? I mean, this is a pretty big deal, and it has the potential to be a very big deal. Would you have heard about this anywhere else? I don't think so. So thank you, Sam, for sharing the good
news. By the way, if you have a gutsy county that's willing to stand for the supreme law of the land as well, let us know and we'll work with them as well. And I've got one thing that I want to say to the American people about this, James. Number one, some say that I'm insane, that I'm crazy. Well, they may be right, but I know this. I'll be able to stand before my Savior when he returns and be accountable for the liberty he gave me. And I will do my
Amen
very
to
best
that, brother.
To honorably deliver at that judgment bar of Christ my accounting for my actions, what I've done in the flesh, what I've done with my heart and my deeds and my dollars and everything that God's given me, what I've done with it, I'll have an accounting. And the final word I want to say to all of you, just like the lion, courage, James, courage.
You've got it in spades, my friend. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for the update. Thank you again for all you do. We'll be back to wrap up tonight's show with Jack Ryan. What a fantastic, fantastic piece of news from Sam Bush.
Thanks, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden's administration shut down a State Department inquiry into whether the coronavirus could have spread out of a lab where the Chinese government was studying coronavirus. The Biden administration reportedly cutting off the inquiry this spring after questioning the legitimacy of the research and ultimately concluding it was a poor use of resources. NIH Director Francis Collins was asked on Capitol Hill by Republican Senator from Louisiana John Kennedy if he knew the Biden administration blocked the probe.
The State Department spiked the prior administration's study. Did they consult with you, Dr. Collins?
I read about it in the press this morning.
They just spiked it without talking to their experts? You don't want to answer that one, do you?
I just read about it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Police say there are multiple deaths and multiple injuries following a shooting at a downtown San Jose Transportation Authority yard. USA Radio News.
Recently, Facebook announced its ban on former President Trump, but promised to review the ban in 6 months. Now, Newsmax wants to know if you think Trump should be back on Facebook. Vote in Newsmax's national poll and let us know your opinion. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just seconds. Make your voice heard. We'll share poll results with the 30 million people who watch Newsmax TV. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel in America, with great recent guests like Donald Trump, Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, John Voight, Alan Dershowitz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, and so many more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. So vote now in the Newsmax poll on Facebook's Trump ban. Just text North to 39747. Let Newsmax and America know your opinion.
San Diego authorities are charging a 28-year-old woman with felony battery after an attack on a Southwest Airlines plane in which a flight attendant lost 2 teeth and suffered other injuries to her face. The FAA says airlines have reported 2,500 incidents of unruly passengers this year, including 1,900 cases in which passengers refused to wear face masks. Regarding this most recent incident in San Diego, Union President Lynn Montgomery tells ABC's Good Morning America.
This was the final straw. We've had a staggering amount of increase in the number of unruly passenger incidents. And when this happens to one of our own, that is when we really kick into gear and say, enough is enough. We need to do more.
AAA is reporting more than 37 million Americans are expected to travel 50 miles or more from their home over the Memorial Day holiday. That number up 60% over last year. and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Blaming all of my roots, I showed up in boots and ruined your blind tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes when I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain. 'Cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. Slip on down to the oasis. So I've got a friend in low places.
It's a fun song. I've always liked that song. Jack Ryan is with us to wrap up the show, as he so often does, our cultural correspondent. Jack, why don't we go with Garth Brooks tonight?
Well, I wanted to present this song as sort of a political, and I'm going to use the term propaganda, statement that we have to do a better job of reaching regular people as they are. And I know we're on the show tonight with some very, very intelligent people, Dr. Kevin McDonald and Jared Taylor. I think you and I are pretty intelligent, but those guys are super smart. Jared Taylor speaks fluent English, fluent French, and fluent Japanese. Okay. So, I mean, that's great, but we have to understand that most of our people listening or entering in politics are not, they don't speak French or they don't speak fluent Japanese, and they resist sort of high intellectualism. We can't get them to read 400 page books or things like that. So we have to try to come up with political programs, with art, and reach to them in regular ways. So that song talks about, you got friends that are, you know, kind of down to earth and a little bit more lower places or something like that. And I just think that we want to be successful and we want to try to play to win. So we have to appeal. We don't want to lie to people. We don't want to corrupt people, but we got to come up with music and political campaigns and propaganda that appeal to people in low places.
Hey, we fight for the folk here on TPC, do we not, Jack? We're not pretentious.
We do.
Listen, we'll fight for you regardless of your class. But you
class,
gotta be
right.
You gotta be with us.
You gotta be with us. And then we want to try to lead them, and we got to try to say what's possible and what's not possible. And we never look down on the honest working man or the housewife or something like that. But we also understand that our enemies, particularly this one enemy that dominates, monopolizes the media, they've got a lot of advantages over us. First, they have just a huge advantage of TV and Hollywood stations and things like that. They're also willing to lie. Which you and our people, we're just not good liars. We're not good at that. But they also know propaganda, and they tell people what they want to hear. They tell poor, unsuccessful Black Americans that their problem is all the fault of white racism. They take videos of cops beating up some Black criminal, and they say, "Oh, he didn't do anything. It was just racism." And then they show pictures of Trayvon Martin when he was a cute 12-year-old instead of the thug he was when he was 16. So we're not going to be able to lie like those people, but we can tailor our message in ways. Given Tennesseans and Texans like guns, they like military, they're going to pretty much go along with any wars or something like that. And so I've been trying to walk through. These wars are not our wars. It's not good, but they're going to go for that. So that's why I try to talk about issues that these regular people can understand, like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, riots and looting in cities. And I like to really focus on the problem of Islamic terrorists, sexual grooming gangs in England and Sweden, because regular folks can understand that that's a bad thing. But trying to explain all of the things about the Federal Reserve banking cartels or things like that, it's probably going to go over most everybody's head. So that's kind of my view tonight.
No. That's a good one. And again, with regards to, I was just thinking as you were talking there, Jack, about the cross section of not only just the guests that we feature on this program, but also the people you'll bump into at our events, at our conferences, which you've been to several of those, Jack. Yeah. And it's it really is. It represents a wonderful diversity of our people, doctors, lawyers, all the way down to working class. And we don't prefer one over the other. We're all in this together. Right. We're all a family. And I think that we have, as well as anyone, really demonstrated that in our activism, that we are in it for right. our people and all of our people, not this class of people or that class of people, but all our extended family, our extended community, both here and abroad. And but yes, I mean, certainly we are. it's easy to relate to the folk. We are the folk, and the folk right. Are us. Well, hey, we got some more announcements I want to get to after the next and final pause of the evening. But before we do that, you got some recommendations for us tonight? I mean, we just heard that iconic song from Garth Brooks, but how about a book? Right. How about a movie? What do you got?
Okay, I have a book and a movie recommendation. And I forgot the name of Free Service, but highly recommend the John Ford-directed John Wayne movie, Stagecoach. Excellent. It's John Wayne's pretty young in this, and it's just, I mean, it's just a group of people like we just talked that were thrown together. They share a stagecoach. There's a Southern gentleman. There's a lady that's married to a soldier that's seriously pregnant. There's a drunk doctor that's coming out of it, and they're trying to get this group of people through Apache territory on this stagecoach. And it's awesome. It's fantastic. It's also not goody two shoes rah-rah about it. And they show the prejudices against certain people and things like that. The work of John Ford with John Wayne were tremendous. Not only did Stagecoach, but that romantic Irish movie, The Quiet Man. I'll recommend both of those tonight. So those are just excellent movies. Now, my book recommendation is something obscure. You're probably going to have to get it on interlibrary loan, which I think our listeners should get up to. If you belong to a good library, a university library, you can pretty much get any book that's ever been printed. Okay, the name of the book is Faces of the Enemy, and it's Reflections of the Hostile Imagination. The author is Sam Keen. Yeah, he's of the tribe. This just documents the different types of propaganda that's been used in conflicts and wars throughout the last couple hundred years. He's doing it is saying that these are bad things, but it just breaks down what the effective forms of propaganda. And this is another area where our people tend to not be very good, like in partner dancing or things like that. We don't know how to communicate in political campaigns. And again, our enemies know how to lie, but it's very visual, and it just breaks down all the different ways that you say that your enemy is a gangster, your enemy is a terrorist, your enemy is a beast, he's a rat, he's a atheist or against God. He just breaks them all down. Or your enemy is a rapist. And these are it's a science of propaganda. And our side too often says, well, we don't want to do propaganda, it's not fair. But if you're competing in politics or in culture, propaganda is just a major part of it. And occasionally they'll have some guy like Lee Atwater, the Southerner that got the President George Bush Sr. elected president. He was good at propaganda, and he took the issue of this liberal Democrat of Massachusetts giving this convicted black murderer, Willie Horton, an unsupervised weekend pass, and he went out and used it and did home invasion, raped and tortured a woman like that. So Lee Atwater took this issue, and he erased a 20-point deficit in the polls for George Bush Sr. Now, it wasn't very honest, because when George Bush Sr. was president, he just kind of renounced it and said it was just, oh, he felt real bad about it, and we had just record crime. But Lee Atwater was good at political propaganda. And so this book, Faces of the Enemy, Reflections of a Hostile Imagination, I think is the best study of just the use of propaganda. And it shows all kinds of sides, socialist, nationalist, Christian, Islamic. And it just documents what good. I love to teach it to our people, because we tend to just, we're as bad at political propaganda as we are at partner dancing.
Well, you're getting better at well, you're pretty good at both, I should say, and getting even better at the dancing. And wonderful recommendations tonight. Great song. Keith's going to kick himself for missing You recommend a couple of John Ford, John Wayne collaborations. You know, that's in Keith's wheelhouse. He would have we would have found a way to tie it to Tammy and the Bachelor, certainly, but Keith does know a lot of the Westerns as well, and then the book. Well, before we go to the break, and the music's going to start any minute, tell us how Chicago is tonight. I always enjoy asking you about Chicago. It's an interest to me down here.
You're right. Well, I spend most of my time outside the city, but I own property in the city, and I keep a close eye on this old neighborhood that I grew up in that shaped me. It's on the south side of Chicago, the University of Chicago area. The Obamas made it there. We went from winter to summer. We have good weather. It's just the mobs come out. They take over the parks.
Once the summer warm things up, it becomes killing season up there in Chicago. Without the cold weather to keep all the ne'er-do-wells indoors, although with heaters and heavy coats, they've been able to navigate that a little bit even better in the winter. We'll be right back. One more segment with
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Summer sun's calling my name.
I hear you now, I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun knows me by name.
He's calling me.
All right. Well, listen, we are celebrating some good news tonight, and we've got the music to match the mood. Gotta get away, gotta get away. That was Jack's song last year when he went to Africa for like half the year to get away from the American presidential election cycle. But he's back, and he's been back. He's been continues to be here in a big way. And I don't know. I was born in 1980, so I couldn't tell you with eyewitness testimony one way or another. But I think the 50s as depicted by June Cleaver and Donna Reed and all of that stuff was probably a little closer to the way it might have looked than the Brady Bunch did in the 1970s. But there's that unforgettable song, Sunshine Day, from the Brady Bunch. You remember the Brady Bunch, Jack?
Yeah, I was not a real big fan of the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family. So, and then there are these TV network comedy. You can get them free without cable on with antenna TV. And so it's sort of, it's a flashback. Now, the Brady Bunch is annoying to me. It's annoying to me. I think that...
I remember...
You know, that...
As a kid in the 80s, it would come on reruns, of course, would come on like TBS right. or TNT. I remember watching them some back then. But anyway, I remembered that song from that, and I thought it was fitting for the mood. I'll tell you another thing we're celebrating, ladies and gentlemen. Jack, one of Jack's pet projects, is working with Farstar, this comic out of South Africa, Farstar. And... Jack and Farstar collaborate to make some comics. And we actually, of course, just had Jared Taylor on, but American Renaissance has posted one of these collaborative efforts that Jack has been behind. It's called Mike the Moor, and it was posted on May 26th at Amren.com. So check out Jack's work there, May 26th, Amren, Mike the Moor. You can see it. Scrolling through the comments right now, looks like a lot of good comments, Jack.
It's been well received. And I just generally, our work has been well received. I've had some tough time finding a place that would just promote it. And I think that's an area, again, we're just falling down. We've always had lots of great writers, good speakers, but we just haven't had the comics or the musicians. And it's deliberate. Our enemies always try to get youth. They always try to get the artists, and they try to present us as old, boring people that hate the arts and don't have a sense of humor. But really, the way it is now, we have a good sense of humor, and our enemies, whether they're horrible Hollywood leftists like Michael Moore, sexual degenerates, cultural critical race theory, or these 8th century Islamist extremists, they really can't take a joke. They take humor the same way as a vampire will take direct sunlight. They don't have it. And I think it's a tremendous it's a great weapon for us, and B, it's something that uplifts the spirit of our people. And I think we get too much negativity. If you keep getting a constant flow of negativity, losing political elections, stories of our women and children being raped and beaten up and abused, it makes people depressed and kind of gives them down. So if I can lift up their spirits with some humor, and I think this one we did with Michael the Moor and this crazy Islamist guy, I think it's one of our best one. Let's use it.
Well, it's there, and you can check it out for yourself so you can see what we're talking about. Amren.com. Scroll back to May 26th and click on the entry Mike the Moor, and you can see what Jack works on when he's not on air with us. And it has been a quintessential broadcast. And leave a good comment, by the way. Leave a good comment there if you're a fan of Jack's. I know he's got a lot of fans out there in the TPC listening audience. Been a quintessential broadcast of the program tonight. Kevin McDonald, Jared Taylor, Sam Bushman with an excellent report in the top of this hour. And we're closing it, as we so often do, with Jack Ryan. I want to remind you, though, ladies and gentlemen, that David Cole has a documentary project coming out on Hutton Gibson, the father of Hollywood star Mel Gibson. As you know, longtime listeners of the show will remember that before his passing at the age of 101 years old, Hudson was a longtime friend of ours who famously appeared for a series of interviews on this program that were covered by everyone from Entertainment Tonight, Hollywood tabloids, the major network late night comedy shows lampooned it. And anyway, Hutton Gibson was a rock solid guy on the most critical issues out there. And so far from slowing down, we are branching out ourselves into the arts and staying in touch with David Cole as he prepares this. It is very nearly ready for release. And David Cole was with us last year to talk about it. He's going to come back with us very soon. And that is going to be the incentive for our fall fundraiser in September. And we'll have producer credits on this film. That is a very, very much a professional work. I can't give you all the details. It's David Cole's baby, but we have worked in a very limited capacity. To say we worked on it, we didn't have any input on the direction of it or any of that. This is David Cole's project, but we have worked with him to promote it. And I'm looking forward to this and looking forward as we get a little closer to the fall and through the summer to be able to share all the details with you. And I know you're a big fan of David Cole's work as well, Jack.
Yes, I am. I like David Cole for many reasons. But one is just that he's lived the life. He's lived the L.A. life in there, and he went to public schools, which was predominantly black public schools. Similar to my experience in Chicago. And he's always just been very honest about seeing the world around him or history in an honest way. And whether it was about just honest revision of World War II history or just looking at current political, racial realities in Los Angeles, Southern California, I appreciate his honesty. He's intelligent, and he's been a brave person. He's taken some brave positions. And so I always have to salute intelligent people who are honest and who take brave positions. And most of his positions are things that that I would support. So that I'm looking forward to that.
Well, and of course, his claim to fame, and he'll be at American Renaissance, of course, this November. His claim to fame originally was his work as a revisionist documentarian on issues pertaining to World War II. Probably I don't have to paint in any broader strokes than that to let you know. And he quite famously appeared on, I believe it was what, not Geraldo, but Donahue and Mark Weber. And of course, since then, he was a GOP operative. He was the Republican Party animal, and he got to know all of these famous A-list Hollywood stars. And I don't want to say necessarily infiltrated them, but they did it undercover anyway. It's just, listen, he wrote a book about it called Republican Party Animal. Fascinating man, fascinated story. And we've gotten to know each other a lot better over the last year. And I'm really excited about this documentary project on Hutton Gibson. He had an agreement with the Gibson family that it would not be released until the passing of the patriarch Hutton. And of course, Hutton did just go on to receive his eternal reward not very long ago, about a year ago. And so now the movie is nearing its release. Now, last thing I must say is that our second quarter fundraising drive here for TPC has kicked off. Made mention of it very briefly at the top of the show. This is our life's blood, ladies and gentlemen. The success or lack thereof of our quarterly fundraising drives is the difference between having gas in the tank and just being broke down on the side of the road. So, you know, we have been producing matchless content here for 16 and a half years, going on 17 this fall. You've been there for us. We've been there for you, just like family should be. For that, we thank you. We fight for you. We'll carry our banner into the arena for you, and we want to hear back from you. Of course, as you know, deplatforming, censorship being what they are, if you want to support the work of TPC, it's got to be done with a paper check. You can send it to our P.O. box. Information on the website. If you're a regular contributor of TPC, you'll get a letter in the mail from us this coming up week. You donate $100 or more, you're going to receive a copy of Mark Collett's book, The Fall of Western Man. Mark Collett was with us last month. He's going to be back with us next week. This essential book details the West's fall from grace and explains how we can fight back to reclaim our birthright. So it falls in line with what we've always been talking about, fighting back, but fighting back effectively. This book's going to take you on a journey of discovery through each of the following subjects. Understanding the mind, the effects of feminism, the destruction of the family, bad role models, self-hatred, white guilt, and most importantly, the redemption of Western man. $100 or more before June 30th, and you're going to get that book. And I'll tell you, I donate to the show every quarter. We don't ask you to do anything we don't do for ourselves. Jack Ryan donates to the show every quarter. We are a band of brothers. We are with you in the trenches. We thank you. We love you. God bless you. Next week, too, in addition to Mark Collett, we're going to be broadcasting live with Eddie the Bombardier Miller from a reunion of the survivors of the USS Liberty, which was attacked by Israel on June the 8th, 1967. That's coming up. Their anniversary is next week. We're going to go there live in Pensacola, Florida. Big show next week. Support the second quarter fundraising drive. For Sam Bushman, Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, and my good friend and brother Jack Ryan, I am James Edwards. We'll talk to you next week. Good night. Godspeed.